Night gathers, and now our podcast begins. It shall not end until we're done talking. We are
the princes that were promised.
All right, welcome to the princes that were promised. It's me, it's Shawnee Wan, and joining me from across Long Island, it's John. John, long time, no speak. What's going on with you?
Same shit, different day.
Yeah, man, that's the mantra for this summer. It's too much, being an adult, having a job.
Like who made jobs?
I guess back in the day, your job was just making sure you had food somehow, either by like killing an animal or planting something and making sure you water it. I don't know. These landowners had slaves or they hired people, and I guess the workforce just kind of sprouted from there. I've been doing like 60, 70 hours 2 weeks ago.
I always forget how many hours I really do.
Well, you know what, man? It's funny because when I was hired as salary, and I was telling you off air, it was one of the Obama laws that said unless you're a general manager, or you got to clock in and you got to clock out. And this goes back now like 2 years. So for 2 years, I've been clocking in and out, and I actually like doing that because I never did that with my other manager jobs. And you'd be surprised at how many hours you work. I never kept track when I was, you know, when I was an AGM, when I was a KM, I never kept track of how many hours I work. Like I had an idea, but I wasn't clocking in or out, so I didn't know. And now that I do, like I easily rack up, you know, 50, 60 hours is like no problem. Being salaried though, you get paid the same whether you're doing 30 hours or you're doing 60 hours. So it's
right. You know, I do like 55 to 60 hours a week. But, you know, if you got to stay after, you got to stay after and you'll get paid for it. It sucks.
Right. Yeah. The buck stops with you. And because you're on salary, it's like they own you. I mean, they treat me the same way, too. Like, you know, if I'm staying, I'm staying. It's not like they're, you know, they're like, all right, you got to go home. This the way that we would to, you know, an employee if they're hitting overtime or something. But it's still not. It's nice to be able to clock in and clock out. Definitely enjoying that. I don't think this law is going to last for too much longer, but while it does, I'm definitely taking advantage. But yeah, being a salaried manager, they own you. They definitely own you. It's like you're on calls, like you're a fucking doctor or something.
And they treat you like, you know, restaurant and retail, they treat us, you know, the upper manager treats us as if this is just as important as being like, you know, a head surgeon and, you know.
Like you do a brain surgery.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous.
You talk about how your power goes out at your store sometimes or whatever. And like, yeah, it's a shitty situation, but like, it's not at the same level as like a 10-car pileup with like fucking people coming into the emergency room. It's just not, but you're supposed to treat it that way. What are you going to do, man? It's life. It's better than having no job and camping outside Seville Studios trying to figure out what's going on with season 8, Game of Thrones, which I guess is as good a segue as I can muster up. But that's it, man. Filming's wrapped.
Yeah, officially wrapped. What was it? Macy Lanes was the last actress.
Yeah, what does that mean? What'd she say? She had like hashtag last woman standing.
Yeah, no, stop. Everyone just listen. All right, she's stop. She was, basically just means that she was the last one filming, okay? She does this all the time, Macy Williams. And I'll, you know, we'll segue a little bit later on, meaning just what Sophie Turner said. This is, they do this stuff every year. Like, you know, like last year was like, this is the greatest season. Like, of course they're going to say it's the greatest season ever.
And, right. You're not going to come out and say, this is the worst.
Yeah, you know.
This is so, so
this season. This is like subpar. I really thought the previous seasons were a little better than this. It's her being the last person there to film. She's just trying to play it off as if it's like some big Arya thing. I guarantee you it's not. You know, Arya could die. I mean, I'm not sure she's going to die, but I'm sure she's not, you know. There's going to be other people besides her standing at the end. And then, like, you know, she shows, like, the photo with the blood and the sneakers. Like, no shit. Like, no one's not going to see bloodshed this year. Of course we're going to see bloodshed. Of course a lot of people are going to die.
Right. Like, oh my God, look at all the blood on her sneakers.
Yeah.
Was she wearing sneakers in the scene? I don't...
Exactly. That's who... I forget who said that yesterday. I forgot who it was. You know, it's not like Arya wears freaking goddamn Nike white sneakers on her, as part of her wardrobe.
Maybe she was doing a... She shot a commercial for Keds on the scene or something like that.
And then...
In character is Macy Williams.
Sophie Turner said, like, you know, all you people do your fan theories, it's all wrong. The ending is so unpredictable. Like, what is she going to come out and say? Well, you know, a lot of the fans, they have guessed this ending for a long time, so it's really not much of a surprise. Of course she's going to come out and say this ending's unpredictable.
Most people were right.
It still may be an unpredictable ending. I'm not saying she's completely wrong, but it's not like she's going to come out there and say, well, you know, everyone predicted this anyways.
I think that with all the theories on how the show ends, somebody has to have, if not nailed it 100%, somebody's got to have, at least in broad strokes, figured out what the ending is. I mean, all these theories that are out there, obviously possible spoilers, but we don't even know. But one of these theories has to be true. There can't be like something that nobody has thought of with the amount of characters that are left. You know, Cersei sitting the Iron Throne at the end of Game of Thrones. Somebody has to have figured out, just by guessing or by using context clues, what the ending to the show is. Although, quick side note, maybe to collaborate with Macy Williams' Instagram post. I don't know if you saw Omegang's new beer.
Do I have it, maybe? I got some stuff for Christmas.
No. This is I don't know if this one is even out yet. Oh. If it's out, it just came out, but it's called Queen of the Seven Kingdoms. It's tart and it's tasty. It's an ale. For the sour beer lover. So I don't know if that's a possible spoiler to how the show ends.
Well, I swear to God, if it's... You,
I hope not.
You know, if it's fucking Sansa, I'm done.
Sansa's got to be like third on the list for ruling the Seven Kingdoms, I would think.
God.
It's got to go Jon, Daenerys, Sansa. Unless we get another hidden Targaryen in one of the Lannisters that Benioff and Weiss are going to follow through with.
I have the one that came out last year here, a new one. The newer one out last year called Hand of the Queen, which is kind of like Tyrion. So I'm sure that queen wants this guy to Cersei. Not that she's actually going to end up winning, but currently.
Yeah. They're not going to allow Omegang to spoil the ending to Game of Thrones.
It's got to be this for Cersei. Hold on one second. The other one I have.
I believe it is because I think the bottle cap is Lannister.
Fire and Blood. It's the one I have. Which I think I drank.
Fire and Blood?
I drank that one last year. I have another one too. I should have. I have like three. I got to start drinking them. Kind of tough to drink. I mean, it's really these ales.
Yeah, they're bitter, right?
Yeah, I mean, and they're like, well, they're more like maltier, so they're thicker and not as, you know, they don't go down easy like a normal beer. They're good.
Yeah, but only, like once in a while, you can't. That's not something you could just drink when you get home from work.
Well, I'm sure there are some people that can probably do it, and maybe doing it right now.
Yeah. Hand of the Queen. Yeah, the bottle is striking with a foiled-covered golden cap sporting the Lannister lion's head in profile and a deep, rich golden
leather. Yeah, see, that's just for the current situation that Cersei's the queen right now. There's no way they're giving that up. It would be like, oh, God. If it would have said something like grayish wolf with a Tully marking or something like that, then you know what? I'm not even watching season 8.
Grayish wolf with a Tully marking, bro.
For that fishy wolf taste. Yeah. Enjoy, Queen. I'm done.
The new beer from Omegang. What the fuck? Edmure's King. Yeah, I guess that doesn't really collaborate anything. You're right. It's just a reflection of the current Westeros monarchy. But filming's wrapped, man. How do you feel about that? This has been quite a journey, no?
I mean, it's got to be sad for the actors and actresses on the show that this is... You know, we talked about it a little briefly, and you know, for some of them, they've been doing this for, you know, 7-8 years now. They've been filming.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, for them, it's a means to an end. It had to be sad for all of them on their final days and all.
Especially the kids around since the first season.
Kids, Amelia, Isaac Hempstead Wright, pick a freaking name.
Isaac Hempstead Wright will never work again. It's going to be extra sad for him. But I was Bran Stark in Game of Thrones. Yes, we know who you are.
Next.
We're going to pass. Can you contact Rickon for us? What's that kid's name? That poor kid. What was he in, like?
Ah, dude, I have no idea.
Three seasons and like one episode where he gets shot with the arrow.
Yeah, pretty much three seasons and two at plus two.
And how about Robb Stark? What's his name? Shit, I always forget those guys.
Richard Madden.
That poor guy.
He was a kid in Rose Leslie's wedding.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, man. I want to actually post some of those pictures because those are some classic fucking pictures. I mean, it's a who's who of Game of Thrones, but you also had like some other celebrities there. It's just funny to see like that one photo of Sam and fucking what's his face? Dollar is Ed. Mm-hmm. He's like happier to pick and shit to just to be there, you know?
It's like, yes, I got invited. Table 7.
I'm on the yes. A-list, baby. He's like sat in the back by the band with Richard Madden. And that poor guy, like seeing him is...
What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Richard Madden has definitely gotten the Hayden Christensen Award there. I mean, just not got any action. Man, I think he's been a couple things there and there. Some like, you know, obscure movies and all that. But definitely nothing groundbreaking.
He had a couple TV shows after it, but like...
Right. Yeah, like sooner than right after. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he'll always be a working actor. Unless like Kit Harington... like develops a heroin problem or picks like piss poor work, he's going to have a really successful career. And the reason I say that is because he's already producing shit. Like he's not worried about, obviously I'm guessing at this, but like Emilia Clarke, she's doing Solo and Terminator and they're not flops exactly. They're not making her an A-list Hollywood actor.
No, and yeah.
It's kind of sad, but like with Kit Harington, he's not looking that route. Like he hasn't really done any huge movies or been attached to anything.
The closest thing he got was Pompeii.
Right, which was kind of a bomb, but that was what, season 3 or season 4 of Game of Thrones when that movie came out?
Happened after season 4, I think. Right? I don't even know. It's
well, right around
there. I get mixed up now with the seasons and yeah.
But he's producing miniseries for HBO. Like he's going the James Gandolfini route. Where maybe he doesn't do all that much acting going forward, but like miniseries and just stuff he really wants to do. But if he gets involved with the production and executive producing, bringing different projects to the screen, he'll have a very long, successful, and probably happy and rewarding career. And I don't really need to go see him in a Hollywood movie. You know, I'll always like Kit Harington. I think he's great. I don't think he was so great in season one, but I think he really grew into the role. And post Red Wedding, it's like he was on fire.
He was great in that tennis movie that HBO did.
Shit, I forgot about that.
So dry. He was just so dry. He played us so perfectly. His real name is Chris, by the way. Chris Harrington.
His parents were like, oh, let's name him Kit after Knight
Rider. Yeah, he didn't know his name was Chris until he was like 7 years old. Just some mindless Kit Harrington trivia.
Hello, my name's Kit.
Did I ever tell you that story with... Well, some years ago now, it's probably like 3 or 4 years ago now, it was just when Sophie Turner turned 18, so there was this meme out, it's like, happy birthday Sophie Turner turning 18 years old, and it's like pictures of like Tyrion, Peter Baelish, and someone else like from the episode, from the shows, from the seasons, you know, doing all kinds of like, looks. So there is this one woman, girl, you know, goes on, oh my god, you guys are freaking pigs, blah, 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 you guys couldn't even date her, I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a freaking joke, first off. And I'm like, this probably comes from the person who probably has, like, Richard Madden and Kit Harington posters, you know, plastered across her freaking room, you know? Like we all think out there, we're going to have Sophie turn around, yeah.
It's too much, man. It's too much. And this is actually something I kind of wanted to touch on, is more when we talk about Star Wars, just this entire, like I don't want to say, like, the Me Too movement. I'm not knocking that.
Oh, God, don't get me started. Well, God, please, just like, don't get me started.
There's a line, and, like, I feel like, are we not allowed to think that Sophie Turner is attractive now? Like, is that like, a bad thing to think, or?
No, we're not allowed to.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
we're not allowed to. You can't say, you know.
Like, what's the line? Everything that guys do isn't bad. There's some guys like Harvey Weinstein who's in a position and he abuses that and he does horrible things. And yeah, there's guys like that, but like to not be able to comment on Sophie Turner being attractive, like that's just being silly. Yeah. And then to parlay it real quick to Star Wars, when people complain about the sequel trilogy, it's not about Rey or Finn it's not because they're a woman and a black man. It's more because they're shitty characters. If Finn was a great character, then...
We'll get into the Star Wars thing when we do our next. I don't want to jump the gun, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I can really say. And yeah. I've been building it up, and I've been wholly in deep all my frustration and hatred towards the sequel trilogy.
The point being is it's out of control. And looking at Benioff and Weiss and the series that they were supposed to do following Game of Thrones, remember Confederacy or Confederate or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
The alternate history with slavery. And as soon as that was announced, it was like this huge backlash to the point where I don't even think that that show is happening anymore.
No, I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I think their next project is whatever the fuck new Star Wars trilogy they're going to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's on the back burner now because of that. It's good to be sensitive, but there's such a thing as being too sensitive. Anyway, back to the end of filming for Game of Thrones. Yeah, these kids have been with the show since they were kids. And I mean, they're still young, but like, yo, we watched Sophie Turner grow up before our eyes. Macy Williams, who actually, she's older than Sophie Turner, right? Macy Williams?
Nah.
No, you sure?
Fairly positive Sophie Turner's older. I will bet Locklaw on it.
All right, well then, I believe you, but they're close enough to the same age. But we watched them both grow up, and Bran, we watched whatever happened to him. And
Sophie Turner is 22, and Macy Williams is 21.
All right.
I keep Longclaw.
You still got Longclaw. I couldn't take it from you, bro. It'd be like going out with Adrian if Rocky died or something like that. I'd never be able to take it. But so 8 months of filming for these last six episodes. It's going to be six feature-length episodes. You know, movie-length episodes, and I told you what I thought, and I'm basing this entirely off Game of Thrones not being at San Diego Comic-Con, really for the first time.
I'm stopping it right there. Mm-hmm. It can't. It just can't. It's not going to. No, you're wrong on that. You're wrong.
Why do you say so?
They're not going to go up against football. It's not happening.
Okay, but...
Sean, nope.
When did Season 7 start airing?
But when's Comic-Con? I mean, it would have to start right after Comic-Con.
Yeah, well Comic-Con is like...
It's not going to start in the fall. It's not going to start in the fall. Because they're not going up against football. If it's after Comic-Con, then it's like shortly after. And those six episodes come in shortly after. I'm like, let's get my calendar up. Yes, they're not going to go up. I'm telling you they're not doing it. They're not going to go against football. Because they want the male audience. Hold on. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I don't know, bro.
Yeah. Like, when's Comic-Con? You know,
Comic-Con is either this weekend or next weekend, Comic-Con.
Okay, so, all right, so...
Well, here's my thing. I can't see them doing their victory lap, which they very much deserve, without doing the biggest comic book convention, which is more... It's called a comic book convention, but that's not...
Well, they would have to do, like, July 21st... to like August 25th. So that's six episodes right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that would be the Sunday before September 1st. It would end on August 25th.
How did it go for Series 7? When did that start? That started earlier than July? Or it started
That started like July 7th or something.
Okay, right.
Because it ended on the last Sunday in August. They might do the same thing, but it's not...
Ended just before football.
Yeah, they're not going against football. They're not gonna do that.
Listen, the way it works, they could do Comic-Con and then immediately start the next week. But the thing is...
Yeah, and then that Sunday, the following week is...
But Comic-Con's usually like where they'll show like a trailer or something. You know what I mean? You'll get your first glimpse of something. But I can't see them doing their last season without doing the victory lap. And I can't see the victory lap not including San Diego Comic-Con. Especially since they've been at every other San Diego Comic-Con, and they've been a big part of it, especially, you know, in recent years.
All right, I'm going to agree with that. I said no initially, but it's before football. Let me ask you a question. This is very important. At this grando finale Comic-Con tour moment, let me ask you a question. At this time, will George R. Martin announce that in October he comes out Winter
Soldier? History tells us no.
Guys, I be honest with you, I just waited for the series to be over to release the book. It's been done for 5 years.
I'd like to announce that I'm really starting to work on the Winds of Winter now. And I'm really not going to do any other appearances after this appearance until pretty far along in the book. Yeah, what do you think his victory lap's like for the final season of Game of Thrones? What do you like? What kind of accolades do you think he gets? Because this is no longer. I mean, it'll always be his baby. He created it, but Game of Thrones in particular is like miles away from what he started. And
here's George R. R. Martin, the man who couldn't finish the series. Well, you know, I'm working on wild cards. Well, you said the prequel. So you want to talk about the prequel series now?
Well, actually, there's three. There's three now. Yeah. The Jane Goldman spinoff. And I think that's the one that is greenlit and is going to be filmed. Pilot's going to be filmed in October. Let me first preface by saying this, and I told you this off the air. The viewership that Game of Thrones brought in for HBO is like nothing that HBO ever experienced. I don't know if you remember the show True Blood, but that had a lot of viewers, and that was like their crown jewel for a couple of years. But the viewership of True Blood was pretty much on par with The Sopranos. And The Sopranos was amazing at the time, too, for what HBO was. But Game of Thrones has brought HBO to a different level. Game of Thrones is quite possibly the most watched show in the world. I mean, it has to be, including piracy and cultural references. It's got to be the most popular show in the world, most viewed, at least. And HBO being owned by Time Warner, and now this AT&T-Time Warner merger finally going through, AT&T now owns HBO. So while these prequels were sort of plodding along, I mean, they were moving fairly quickly, but it was five different projects. And only the Jane Goldman one looked like it was going to be greenlit and brought to a show. But we weren't expecting anything. We weren't really expecting official announcements until after the final season had aired. Basically, I'm getting this from the article, having acquired Time Warner, AT&T outlines how HBO will change. And the gist of it is, AT&T acquired Time Warner for $85.4 billion, which is fucking crazy. I guess they had like a big town hall meeting with all at the network's at HBO headquarters in Manhattan with like all the suits. And John Stankey is the AT&T executive. Who's the HBO? HBO CEO is Richard Plepler. And Stankey says something like, we've got to make money at the end of the day, right? And Plepler, the HBO CEO, is like, yeah, we do that. Stankey says, yes, you do, just not enough. So HBO has 142 million subscribers around the world, 40 million in the US alone. And over the past 3 years, it's spent $2 billion a year on its original programming with $6 billion in profit, which sounds like a lot. But Netflix, who John Stankey wants to model HBO after, is spending $8 billion a year on original programming. Netflix is definitely close to Disney in terms of profitability at this point.
One great thing about Netflix, ladies and gentlemen, is you can get a whole bunch of Nicolas Cage movies on there. And let me tell you what, they are fan-fracking-tastic. I love these Nick Cage Netflix movies. These things are freaking great. I love Nick Cage.
We don't need to see a Nick Cage movie in the theater, bro. Just bring it to Netflix.
It's
good.
Just bring it right to Netflix. There's actually one that's on cinema I want to watch. I hope it's on Netflix. I forgot what it was called. But he was a cop, man. It's...
Is that the one where he's like, he's a dad, like the parents go crazy or something like that?
I don't know. I just saw a quick coming attraction for it. It was on cinema. And let me tell you, Nick Cage movies, you can't go wrong with a Nick Cage movie.
Dude, Nicolas Cage is awesome. He's so awesome. And he comes from such good pedigree. He's part of the Coppola family.
Yeah, the overreacting, the drama is just... anyone else, I would be like, oh my God, he's a horrible actor. This guy sucks. But it's Nick Cage. Nick Cage can pull it off.
He makes it work. Hey, complete side note, but I thought this was the most awesome fucking theory. The Rock. You remember The Rock, right? With Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery?
Great guy.
The theory is, and it's so awesome, is that Sean Connery's character in The Rock is 007. It's James Bond. Like, they don't say the name because it's not an MGM movie, but the character is supposed to be Sean Connery's 007 as an old man. And it totally fucking works. You know, British Special Forces. Yeah. Yeah.
And I gotta watch that again now, you know, trying, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking about the...
It works, bro. Watch it.
But wasn't he in jail, though, Sean Connery?
Yeah, but the reason he was in jail is they say it's like it was like a... What's the word? Like a false flag operation kind of thing. Like, he went to jail for killing people to cover up, you know, a mission gone wrong. The idea being that the Daniel Craig James Bond isn't the same as the Sean Connery James Bond. Like, James Bond is a code name that Agent 007 takes on when they become 007, right? So, mm-hmm. Sean Connery's James Bond was no longer James Bond after this mission. He got caught or whatever, and whatever the fuck the Secret Service, the British, Her Majesty's Secret Service, whatever the fuck their group is, they, like, denied knowing him. Like, it was redacted, that hands off, we don't know that guy. So that's how he ends up in The Rock. I mean, it fucking makes the movie way more interesting. It's pretty cool.
I wish more movies would do shit like that, though. That's actually pretty cool. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, right?
Without any, like, giving away names and, you know, copyrights and infringements and all that, but, like, you just, like, connected, like, certain movies to other movies in some way, somehow.
Yeah. In subtle ways. See, you could pick up on it, but it's not, like, just spelling it out.
Another segue into this was... I watched it again the other day, and I'm not sure, you know, it was... Part of it was on Parks and Rec, the show, but the full version you get on YouTube is Patton Oswalt stars Filibuster. Have you ever watched that? Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah, you showed me that
one. Oh, dude, it's so funny. He's like, you know, and hold on one second. This is going to seem a bit of a jump, but who's out there but Thanos? Yes, Thanos, the main villain in the Avengers, is there. If he's got the time gem, the soul gem, the reality. If he holds the reality gem, he can cross paths through realities. And that's how we get through the Marvel Universe into the Star Wars Universe. And then on Earth, Tony Stark, it's so funny. It actually would have been...
It was timely, too. Because that was when the merger first happened, right?
Yeah. It would have been... the Star Wars sequels would have been awesome instead of sucking.
Oh, yeah, if they combined universes, it would have been great.
That'd be so sick, though. Like, you just combine universes. Like, one day, you can just imagine you're going in, completely redos, like, Lord of the Rings. Like, next thing you know, like, you see, like, House Stark is there or something. I mean, just cross, you know, cross-utilize all, like, the characters. You know, you go in there all saying, like, you know, there's Commander Adama is coming in there on the freaking ship or something.
Like, when Frodo and Bilbo and Gandalf, when they take the boat east to where the elves are going, it's really Westeros, and they're like, oh no, this isn't good. This isn't where we want to be. All right, so basically what AT&T is doing with HBO is they want to make it into a Netflix where they want to compete with Netflix in terms of original entertainment. Fine, all well and good, but the beauty about HBO has been how selective they are. And they've gotten some wrong. They definitely have, because Mad Men was passed on by HBO. I believe Breaking Bad was passed. The Walking Dead was passed. And these were all real successful shows for a certain amount of time. I think Mad Men, Breaking Bad, I think all three of those shows would have been better if they were on HBO. But it speaks to HBO's quality of programming. I can't think of a bad HBO show. I mean, there's content that I'm not really necessarily interested in, but it's always good programming. But now it seems like they want to do to HBO what Disney has done to Star Wars. Just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. I believe that's why the first Game of Thrones prequel is filming a pilot, and it's in October, they said, right? Is that what we said? Yeah. It's October they're going to film the pilot?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's Jane Goldman's, I believe it's her pilot, which is the Age of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I might have that wrong. I mean, the three that they're...
The first one is the Age of Heroes. It's going to be the time of the first one.
They're also Doom of Old Valyria and The Long Night also.
That's the same one. Long Night, that's going to be the same thing, is it not?
I don't think so, because the Long Night one is... I think that's still a rumor.
Nah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, I'm telling... It has to be, no?
Yeah.
Long Night and the Age of Heroes is the same one. They're only doing two so far.
It's possible, then. But the Doom of Valyria one sounds interesting. Empire of Ash, it would be called, set during the decline and fall of Valyria, recording the social, economic, and political crises which tore apart the Empire from within and brought about the Doom.
So this is, this is before.
Yeah, there'll be a minor family of dragon lords at the time. And much of the prequel takes place on a major melting pot port city in the continent of Southeros. Two main characters described
in this mold. One is a platinum blonde, black female dragon rider, daughter of a white Valyrian father and a foreigner mother who faces discrimination because of this, and a self-made former slave described as a deceptively matronly-looking Asian woman in her 50s that's now not only one of the richest citizens but also a major political leader and government intrigue player. But on the bright side, Sapochnik is attached to film this pilot.
Really?
So that's the... Yeah, so that's Empire of Ash. That's the Doom of Valyria. And then the other one was the... And then there's another one by Brian Helgeland. I guess this is the fourth one. I'm not too sure what that one's about, but that one was thought out of the running. That's back in it now. I would think that all five of these projects are going to go to pilot. I don't think that anything's going to get passed on, especially if this is the new mantra of AT&T's HBO, where they, you know, make fucking whatever. We'll definitely see all these pilots. But I have to think that it would not be good for HBO, not be good for the George R.R. Martin quote-unquote brand to have all these shows going on, because some of them are just going to be inferior. It's overkill. It's fucking overkill. And you see it with Star Wars. It's overkill.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that right away there was going to go there, right, you know, into you know, at least two, you know, right off the bat like this.
All right, so Jane Goldman's taking place thousands of years before the events of Game of Thrones. The series chronicles the world's descent from the golden age of heroes into its darkest hour. So I guess that goes into The Long Night. From the horrifying secrets of Westeros' history to the true origin of the White Walkers, the mysteries of the East to the Starks of legends, it's not the story we think we know. Whatever, dude. I don't need any of these shows.
Right. Well, I just think with the, it's like, you know, we're just seeing this now. We're already seeing the others now. I mean, we're going to see them again.
Right.
I don't know.
And then you get a situation like A New Hope versus the Star Wars prequels, where the Star Wars everything in the prequels just looks better. But that's supposed to take place before A New Hope. This may be a little bit too much. All these dragons and White Walkers. It just cheapens everything to an extent. Oh, one more news item of note. The studio that the Age of Heroes pilot is filming in, that studio is still reserved to Belfast. Disney, to Lucasfilm.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, the Belfast is still reserved to them for the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, which we'll talk more about this when we talk about Star Wars, but it looks like that movie is still moving ahead.
Yeah, I would say it's still on. The only hold up on that could be the they wanted to start filming in like March, April next year, but Ewan McGregor is doing another movie at the same time, so that something might get pushed. It might get pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, if they dare to do that without Ewan McGregor, that will be
done.
That'd be the last straw.
Done. And if they do, I hope they can tell me before episode 9 comes out, because I won't watch episode 9 then. I will not be supporting Disney Star Wars if they don't have Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Unless Ewan would come out and said, I don't want to do the role, then that's different. But he said he wants to do the role.
Yeah, but if he does say, I don't want to do the role, then they shouldn't move ahead with the movie.
No, it's true too, but...
You know?
Yeah.
I can't watch another guy play Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wouldn't be able to do it.
This isn't Batman.
Right. Can't just go and recast Obi-Wan Kenobi every few years.
Or the Joker.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the fuck's going on with that shit, dude. Like, every other day is like a new Joker movie.
Joaquin Phoenix now rumored to be... It's like, come on.
Yeah. The beauty of the Joker is you don't know his origin. That was what was so great about Heath Ledger's Joker, is like...
He made up the stories. And it's kind of like they felt as if that next time when they set it up where they were kind of making it out to be as if he was actually going to tell Batman the truth at the end. And... Boom, he couldn't do it. You know, he didn't give him two more seconds. He would have given us the full answer.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of that character, is it's the mystery behind it. He hints that, like, it's possible, like, he was part of, like, special forces in the military. Like, that's hinted at. A lot of people think that. But that's still, like, vague enough where it provides a little bit of a background, a little bit of a motivation, but not enough where he's still a scary person because you don't know what the fuck he's thinking. Going back to the HBO thing, like, I'm looking at these TV shows. Game of Thrones, I guess this is the average, 10.259 million viewers. And then the second most viewed HBO show is True Detective, which hasn't been on for quite a few years, and that's 2.6 million. Even Westworld, which they thought would blow up like Game of Thrones, that actually dropped in viewership in the second season. It's 1.5 million. Ballers, the show with The Rock, is the next highest, 1.88. It's like nothing here is anywhere near Game of Thrones level. So I understand why they want to do so many spinoffs, but you're not going to get 10 million viewers watching each one of these spinoffs. For the average viewer, once Game of Thrones is over, that's it. You know, there's no need to go back, especially with prequels. That's the danger of prequels. Like, yeah, there's probably a good story to tell, but ultimately, we know how it ends. So it's got to be a really good story. I think that's pretty much it on the prequels. Age of Heroes / The Long Night and Doom of Valyria. It looks like they're going to series, and then the other ones are still in play. Everything's on the table.
It just goes to show how much I know, how much I thought we were going to get, like, you know, the rise of the Targaryens, you know, how much wrong I was on that.
Well, I think we thought, like, it was going to be Aegon's Conquest, which would be an awesome show.
Would fit, everything would fit in that in my eyes. And that's why I thought it was so... That's the reason why we're not making decisions.
Yeah, that's why we're salaried managers and not at the HBO town hall meeting in Manhattan talking about how much we need to be like Netflix. The Netflix model, it's profitable, it works, but the quality of Netflix shows, it's just not there. The difference is Netflix will release an entire season, so you can binge it. And when you're binging a show, all right, you get a shitty episode, fine, whatever. With HBO, it's waiting every week for a new show. It comes along once a year for 10 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, whatever it is. It's high-quality television. It always has been. And it'll cheapen the Game of Thrones brand, the George R.R. Martin brand, and HBO itself. So I don't know. But I do have to admit, going back to our original story here with filming concluding for Game of Thrones, it did kind of make me a little bittersweet. I'm happy that the filming's over because I know that then it's post-production, hopefully less than a year before we see these shows. I'm thinking about a year until we see them. Yeah, that's exciting, but it's also sad because I think back, and we've been in it since season two, pretty much. We've been in it expecting it.
Because even these prequels, it's not going to be the same. You're not going to have that same excitement.
Definitely not. It'll just be something else to watch. You know, but with the prequels, it's like, you know, they're just cashing in. You know, they're just trying to see how much more money they can milk out of George R. R. Martin before he dies. Fine, you know, that's how the business works. But Game of Thrones, especially like the early seasons, when not as many people had read the books, when not as many people were watching the show, like you felt like you were part of such a cool club being into Game of Thrones. Yeah, and even as it blew up, even season 6, season 7, like season 6 was so good, it didn't matter that everybody was watching it. And then season 7 wasn't as good as season 6, but each episode was such an event because there was only 7 of them. And it's just sad. It's sad that it's all going to come to an end. I'm sure it's sadder for these kids. Something like this, a TV show, a movie, a property, it comes along so few and far between. Since you and I became friends back in high school, that was like pro wrestling golden age. And then we had the Star Wars prequels and Battlestar Galactica and then Game of Thrones. Like, what is the next thing that will be interesting or the next thing that I'll look forward to? I like the Marvel movies, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah. And how you feel the Marvel movies, it's going to be kind of tough to get, you know, there's going to be a dip in that too, because the main guys are going to be after next year.
Changes, man. I know you don't watch Doctor Who, but like I've been quite depressed about it. But you know, everybody acts like they're so excited about a female doctor, and personally, I don't give a shit. Like, you know, you have a new doctor every few years, and you got to get used to it, and then you always enjoy them. But for me, there's a new showrunner, there's a new script editor, head writer taking over Doctor Who. I don't like any of his work. He's written for Doctor Who, and the episodes have been so shitty. It's depressing because all these people are so excited about this. Like, I have a feeling like it's really gonna suck. Like all the stuff that I love and have loved for the last few years, it's all like coming to an end or changing, you know. And then the thing that I thought I was looking forward to the most, The Winds of Winter, you know, I don't allow myself to look forward to it anymore. The filming concluding on Game of Thrones, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, it's like the end of an era. And I know we still have the actual episodes to watch, and I'll get excited about that. But once that's over, like I said, that's just one of those special properties that it'll be a long time before something as compelling that I'm that into comes along again. What do you think, John? Are you more excited to see the episodes, or are you more sad that it's over?
Ah, it's a tough question. You know, as you said, it's bittersweet to think that, as we said, the filming's over, it's done. You know, for me, to know that it's been filmed, what's ever happening is done, it's completed, the story is going to be told.
Yeah.
I still don't know what's going to happen. For me, I'm in unusual territory. I usually know everything.
Yeah, you're usually spoiled by this point. Spoiled.
Yeah.
You usually know what's going to happen better than the fucking people that wrote it at this point.
I'm usually double dipping in spoilers. not this year. They've done a great job. I mean, we have the leaks. There's like 5 or 6 different leaks But which one is even true? I'm going to say them. All of them are not true, and this elements would, you know, just by coincidence, will have to be somewhat true.
Yeah,
but that's, none that's of them you think. Can say is an actual, you know, confirmed plot leak like we've had like last year. I mean, I knew everything was going to happen last year. Same thing, pretty much for season six. And once again, I have no problems with that. Does not ruin my excitement level for the episodes of the season.
It enhances it, if anything.
Oh god, it makes it better, 10 times even better. Yeah. I need to know going in before I'm watching what is going to happen. Going in blind for me is not good.
You don't want to know. You don't have to know. You need to know. What Michael Scott say? He's like, I don't want to be liked. I don't have to be liked. I need to be liked. Ah, man. I would think that some spoilers will come out at some point. There'll be something. There'll be some kind of leak. There'll always be possible spoilers, and there'll always be ways to figure out what's going to happen. The leaks for season 7 with whatever the fuck that group was that was ransoming off episodes for $1 million or whatever the price was to HBO, like, that stuff's not going to happen anymore. That was ridiculous, dude. They, like, holded up HBO for, like, millions of dollars, and they literally had the episode in hand hours before it was going to air anyway. I still watched it.
Real quick, it's really funny. I saw a meme on this, but it was really funny because a few days before that, I saw it was the, you know, with the World Cup going on right now, there was the head coach, I think, of Morocco, and I looked at him real quick, and I'm like, wow, that guy looks like Jaime Lannister right there. And then someone did a meme on it, you know, when you're waiting for season 8. So you have to take up the job as the head coach of Morocco. The guy definitely looked like Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
I feel like his face is a little bit more chiseled, but he looks a lot like
it. Yeah, but it had the same look, the same, like, you know, the hair was similar.
Coster-Waldau, wasn't he at the World Cup also with, what's his face, with Euron? I thought I saw that. They were like actually at the games together.
Yeah.
Hanging out. Like old buddies. The other thing, I'll post this on our Facebook, is a YouTuber, he goes by The Cartoon Show, and he's doing 8-bit chapters for Game of Thrones. He's got Prologue, and he's got Chapter 1 Bran right now. And they're actually pretty good. Focused on the book. It's not, you know, it's not like TV show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Cartoon Show. I'll post that on our Facebook. Hopefully I remember too. So what do you think then, John? When do you think we see season 8, the final episodes? When do you think they start airing?
April.
That was my original thought. I don't know why I'm so stuck up on this Comic-Con thing.
No, it's a good point. You're probably right, but it has to be right after the Comic-Con. Yeah. It's not going to be like late August. They're not going to hit into the fan. I'm telling you, they're not into football. I mean, it's doable.
And football will go till December. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's if it's not like April into May, then it's going to be like July into August. Mid-July until late August.
Yeah. But definitely nothing before April. We're not getting a February
series.
Maybe an announcement for when it airs in February, but...
Yeah, you'll see like a trailer and shit. When those trailers start going off, that's going to be huge. Because, you know, right now, as we said, we don't have a lot of spoilers. So when those first trailers hit, it's going to be a big event.
I'm just thinking back now to the season 7 trailer. The original teaser. They had the James song, and it was just John, Daenerys, and Cersei. And, I mean, it wasn't spoilers, but it was a pretty good trailer for how the season worked out. A King of the North, the Dragon Queen, and
right.
The
Queen of the Seven Kingdoms. Right, what was cool about that, I think it was actually, I think it was Tony Teflon who dissected the song and what and the words to the song at the times that it was going on and who was being shown. And I can't think of the words of the song anymore. Sit down for whatever it was. Like the next interview was a John, so he kind of put together that Danny and John were going to get together. And then the next line when he started like Cersei and some people like madness, then he said, this is definitely Cersei and Euron because Cersei needs madness. He dissected it pretty well. That thing gave it away. He had to dissect it to give it away what the words were meaning.
He gets fucking deep, Tony Teflon.
Yeah. Do you think, quick question, 2 weddings next season?
John and Daenerys and Euron and Cersei. Euron. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I sing myself to sleep a song from the darkest hour. Secrets I can't keep in sight of the day. Swing from high to deep, extremes of sweet and sour. Hope that God exists, I hope I pray. Drawn by the undertow, my life is out of control. I believe this wave will bear my weight, so let it flow. Oh, sit down next to me, sit down, 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 in sympathy. Now I'm relieved to hear that you've been too some far out places, it's hard to carry on when you feel all alone. Those who feel the breath of sadness sit down next to me. It's a good fucking song.
So those who feel the breath of sadness, that's kind of like John.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is madness, I believe. And that's like Euron, Cersei, John, and Daenerys.
Daenerys is a red herring. She's a red herring, dude. It's too obvious. Her character arc.
I'm telling you, and let me say this, and I've been saying this, and I just saw, and Tony Teflon did a video on this, and you know I've been saying this for a long time since it came out. Dany mentioning numerous times in season 7 about John and the Heart. I'm telling you, Dany is going to be sacrificed in the Heart. I'm telling you. They've given away. Davos has given it away that, you know, he gave his heart for his people. Now it's time for Daenerys to give her heart for the people. Now he thinks she's going to come back to life. He thinks she's going to come back to life, but I still think she's got to sacrifice herself.
I don't think she's going to come back to life. I think that will be the thing. I think maybe she sees Jon, like maybe when it's out there that Jon is a Targaryen and he opens up to her more about dying and coming back, maybe she thinks that she'll be able to do that too, but she can't come back. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be like the perfect George Martin red herring, you know, whoopsie prophecy, kicking in the ass every time. Mm-hmm. And one of the major parts about Daenerys' character is her learning that part of ruling people is making sacrifices to better your people, right? So marrying Hisdar Zolorak, pretty much her whole storyline in Meereen, which obviously Dance of Dragons gets more in depth with that, but I think they got it across fairly well in Game of Thrones, but that's part of her character's making the sacrifice for her people, and that's the ultimate sacrifice, and I think that's her trajectory. In which case, I guess Jon marries Sansa. I don't know.
Well, we're going on to news and prequel news, now we're going on to some theories, and I was just thinking, you know, after this story, there is going to be no more Starks, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless Bran somehow.
Yeah. Okay? Because Sansa, you know, she has a kid. It's going to go through a male line. She'll carry on the male name.
Yeah.
You would think. So there's still something there, like you said, that there could be some sort of union with Jon and Sansa somehow. That they have to create a Stark child. You know what I'm saying? Because we have the Targaryen child right now. Because you know Dany's pregnant right now. She's definitely pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, right, no doubt.
You have to have a Stark child.
Well, let me ask you this then.
And that's got to be through Sansa.
When Jon finds out who he is, right? When he learns he's a Targaryen. Mm-hmm. If it's a situation where, I mean, it's hard for it to be a situation where not the rest of the kingdom knows, because then how would he be king? But let me put it this way. If Jon had a choice between knowing that he is a Targaryen, but he had a choice between being Jon Stark or being Aegon Targaryen, do you think he might choose to be Jon Stark?
I think...
Based on Ned?
I hope I'm not getting too caught up in too many of the connections, but I mentioned before, and I think you probably looked this up online, some guys definitely got a YouTube video on it, how pretty much John is Aragorn. And that's John's Aragorn with a mixture of Gandalf with the Second Life, kind of.
Okay.
And what the Aragorn connection is, you know, he never wanted to be king, and then at the end, he was told by Elrond that, you know, listen, enough's enough. You have to become who you were born to be.
Yeah.
I mean, does someone have to come up to John and say, listen, this is, you have to be the man. You kill the boy, Jon Snow, and let the man be born.
That's Sam and
fully have
Sam and Bran, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is who you have to be. This is, you know, maybe Sam reads all this stuff about, you know, the scrolls, and maybe finds out kind of what Rhaegar believed in. Remember, if Rhaegar flashbacks, we don't know what those flashbacks are going to be in season 8. At least it appears that way since the actor was seen by the set.
Oh, they got to do a flashback, dude. They can't just leave it like that. You know, there has to be. Bram's even going to investigate it more. It has to be.
Yeah. They have to tell him that you have to become this. This is why, you know, this is, you know, Rhaegar's, you know, pretty much sacrificed his whole entire family and kingdom and dynasty for this. You have to be this. You can't be Jon Snow. You have to take on the role of Aegon Targaryen. You are Aegon Targaryen.
But does the kingdom need another Targaryen, or do they need Jon Stark, King of the Seven Kingdoms?
Just sounds so better, Aegon Targaryen, the sound of his name.
Yeah.
Well, anything sounds better than Sansa Stark, first her name, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fuck Sansa.
Oh my God, there's so many people that love her. It's like, ooh. They get so defensive.
I'm way more forgiving of the things she does in A Game of Thrones than Clash of Kings. Way more forgiving of that because she's a little girl, whatever. You want to flare for that? You could do that too because she does a little bit of Catelyn Tully level damage. But the reason I don't like her, not because of the things she did in Game of Thrones, because of the things she does in Season 6, Season 7. And even though it turns out to be a ruse for Littlefinger in Season 7, it's not telling Jon that the Vale was going to show up. It's accepting that Rickon was going to die. It's those type of things that she does that make me not a fan of Sansa Stark. Make me think that she's out for herself more than she's out for House Stark. Maybe she'll be successful because of that, but it doesn't sit well with me. It's not the stuff in Game of Thrones. She was tricked. Yeah, I can defend it. I don't like it, but I can defend it. I'm not going to say she's out for herself for that, but the stuff she does in Season 6, I am saying she's out for herself. So the people that like defend her, that love Sansa, these Jonsa shippers, which I can't fucking stand, you know, they all use that same argument about what she does in Game of Thrones, but nobody can defend what she does in Season 6 and Season 7. It's just straight up Littlefinger level selfishness. Maybe not that bad, but what else? You got anything else with Game of Thrones, bud?
Nah, I think that's it.
Thanks for listening. You can find us facebook.com/ThePromisePrinces, on Twitter @PrincesPromised. Read the Westerosi Companion, thePrincesThatWerePromised.com. Find us on Apple Podcasts, in the Google Play Store, SoundCloud. We're on YouTube and somewhere else too. Stitcher. We're all over the place. Subscribe, leave a review. We'll speak with you guys next time. We'll be right back.
Bum 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 bum